After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's going on, AfterBuzz family? You knocked and we are buzzing you in. Grab your tissue because it's time for the season finale of AfterBuzz. Presents Insecure, starting now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Really good
vibe.
Find
terrible.
Some time to do something.
Yeah, and vibe.
Find some time.
Like, vibe out.
Get to life. Be productive.
No. Just do it. Damn.
What's going on, y'all?
Ivana, give him a dance real quick.
I can't. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, Khalil, look, he's giving you a dance. He got his dancing clothes on. What you mean?
So, after that episode, like, that's all I can do is just... Mm. Grab a little bit of the beat and just ride out.
I have to take a few steps.
Oh, man. Mm. So, season 2, episode 8, AfterBuzz TV presents Insecure. Tonight, it's all about hella perspective, and it's the season finale. Man.
What?
I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you. I'm looking all around this room.
Okay.
And I won't see this room for this reason for at least 6 months. Maybe even a year, because you know how they be doing.
That's true.
You know how they be doing.
Issa took her time.
You know how they be doing. But damn it, we made it.
Yeah.
We made it. Shout out to our engineers. Shout out to everybody here at AfterBuzz TV for supporting Insecure and making sure that we cover this show the best that we can. Mm-hmm. I'm your lead host, McCall Hall. You can find me on social media when sports and pop culture collide at So McCall Hall on Twitter and McCall Hall of Fame on Instagram. So we're going to jump to my left, and then we're going to skip. Oh. And then we're going to go to another left.
Oh. What's going on, y'all? It's Ivana. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams and on Instagram at Ivana.Williams.
Are we going to the couch or are we going to me?
We're going to go to you, then we're going to go to the couch, and I'm going to bring it right back.
Hey, it's your busy bird, Robin with the V here, and you can find me at B Stays Busy on all social media platforms.
Khalil Boo Boo at Khalil Boo Boo. We out here, gang gang. Holla at me.
Such a hoodlum.
We love having Khalil.
Hey, everybody. I'm pumped to be here. You can follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet.
Bonjour Juliet. Now, everybody, please. Please. Can we dim the music, bring it down to an absolute silence, because we have been blessed tonight with an absolute national treasure. He has the buttocks of a god. Okay. He made his premiere in episode 5, maybe 6. I can't remember, but he has been an absolute treat since then.
Yes.
He plays Dro on Insecure.
Alejandro.
And he goes by his government name. Is Sharonis J. Jackson.
Yes.
Snaps.
Nothing but illustrious guests.
That was a good intro. Like,
look, I'm like Steve Harvey. Do I bring you out or do I bring you out? Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Here's the real important question, because let me tell you something. For as many times as I've thrown my drawers at the TV looking at you,
heavens.
A million other girls have done it too. So where can they find you?
Great. Okay.
I'm being for real.
Great. No, I love it. I love it. Instagram and Twitter is the same thing at Rone J R O N E J A E.
Now you pronounce your name because I wrote it down originally as Sharonis, but you pronounce it Sharonis.
Mm-hmm.
The So were you named after the song My Sharona?
No, I wasn't actually.
Okay.
No, it had nothing to do with my name actually. I was actually named after a Lithuanian basketball player.
And
you ball.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't know which camera on right now.
Probably this one.
This young man walked into our studio tonight, and I thought this was an ESPN one-on-one interview.
Girl.
Because he came in here looking like Anthony Davis. Seven feet tall, wingspan of 8 feet. Okay, looking like he about to play in the Drew League.
Yeah.
But welcome.
Oh, you have?
I have. Actually, I have.
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll definitely talk about it. Well, Sharonis, thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank I know you. You've had a very busy Sunday. It is the season finale, so I'm sure everybody's been tugging at you and whatnot, but I appreciate it. We all do. We all do.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you.
I want to go through the episode first, and then I want to jump into you as an actor, because I think everybody's very intrigued, because you're kind of new to the scene, and we want to know what's coming up next, because we want to see more of your ass cheeks.
These burning questions.
Oh, these burning questions. Fine. Ass cheek. Look at
that
those.
Was
look
one
at those,
of them, but like...
Look at those notes.
Whatever.
So, you guys, tonight, season finale. Last week, we weren't able to get into it, but it picks up tonight after that lovely and eventful dinner party.
Yeah, it was hella L's last
just
week.
Just a lot of L's.
Hella L's.
But that's
my
life. You're going to take L's.
Why
were your feelings hurt?
Why were your feelings hurt?
Because there were a lot of mean things said last week.
Such as?
Right.
I felt it.
What did you feel? Because wait, because you're Team Lawrence, so.
I am, but.
Absolutely.
He was okay last week.
No.
I mean,
he was not okay.
Let's bring it down. Let's bring it down, because I really do want to know. What else happened last week? Because in my opinion, and I can only speak for myself, okay, last week was all about truth. So please explain how an L is a bad thing.
I didn't say anybody took an L. That was
Robin.
Yeah, that was Robin. But
that's the fourth time he's come for you tonight. He keeps coming for you.
It's okay.
So explain.
He's gonna get it in a minute.
So please explain your perspective from last week.
Their argument at the end just hurt my feelings. Like, I just wanted to go in between them and be like, guys.
We don't need to do this.
He didn't mean that. He didn't mean
you're
that.
You're supposed to be this way.
Wait, no, she didn't mean that. I swear she didn't mean that. Like,
but
I
say something about that argument to your defense? Neither one of them knew how low of a blow they gave each other. Like, when Lawrence was like, I'm sure he's a gentleman, he knew nothing about him, the cum shot, the facial.
Right.
And then
when... That was an accident. He is a gentleman.
No, but she was upset about that. He didn't know anything about it. So he's like, I'm sure he's a real gentleman. And she's already kind of butthurt about that last situation. Also... She's also eye hurt. And then he said... No, she said something about... Oh, woot woot. She was like, what's up with woot woot? Not knowing that he had the presentation that kind of flopped.
I think that they both actually, no, they knew exactly what they were saying because they're both hurt from the situation. Him, he's going to throw it in her face because obviously she cheated on, he's talking about the man that she messed the whole relationship up. So they're in that position because of that. So I'm going to throw that in your face. She's obviously checking up on him. She's looked up nothing yet. So that's why she brings that up in his face to throw shit. And then obviously it wears on it. Yeah, all that stuff. So I think they purposely were going. I don't think that obviously the intention was, if you look at Lawrence, he came out to explain because he's being a nice guy. But then she was mad. Obviously he got defensive and then they went at it. And
that was still nice for him to come out there and check on her.
I mean,
it took a dart eye from Molly. Molly was like,
right, she gave him.
She's like,
yeah.
But then Aparna has to bring her ass out there. Side note,
perfect time.
I got to put this out in the universe because I believe in putting things out in the universe. If you have something on your heart, just say it out loud and it'll come true. You and Robin should have your own radio show with those voices.
Oh.
Silky smooth.
That's how I felt about Aparna. Her voice is kind of dope too.
I like hearing her talk.
Raspy.
Yes.
It's kind of like an Angie Martinez meets
I guess.
She's an Indian girl born and raised in Atlanta. Like, surrounded by like the culture, so she's like influenced.
I could smell
like
the Waffle homie. House through the TV.
I could smell the Waffle House.
I could smell the Waffle House through the TV. I knew she was
hood.
Yeah,
she is.
I knew she was hood.
She's real. She's really cool. And
she even had black girl edges. Like,
yeah. They were slick.
She knows what's up. Like, she really knows what's up. She's cool.
But I do agree, Khalil. Like, I wanted to administer a lot of hugs from last week.
Right.
Administer?
Yeah, last week there was a lot of truth. I'm not going to go so far as saying L, but a lot of truth. Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward to this week. First of all, shout out to production. They had a totally different perspective this week.
Yeah.
They broke it down into 30-day segments for each person. Mm-hmm. So it all started the same. So that's why we started the show with, what's the song?
The Tyler Creator song. Boredom.
Okay, so that's why we start, because we're all going to start at the same place, right? Mm-hmm. So it starts with 30 days for Lawrence first. So Lawrence gets into his... marathon that he's been training for with his coworkers, and he finally gets to the end, and Aparna says something to me that made me think, like, yo, she really is into him. She goes, we couldn't have done this without you. Mm-hmm. The first way to get to a man's heart is to make him feel like he's needed.
That leadership zaddy role.
Zaddy. Did anybody feel like from that moment, Aparna and Lawrence were actually getting to a point of like closeness that we found out later, you know, was serious?
Because
there was
about
foreshadowing in the last episode, right? Mm-hmm. But after seeing the marathon, I'm like, damn, I think they really might be.
We talking about on the street or when they were in the apartment?
In the apartment.
Cooking?
After the marathon.
At the marathon, like, there was some foreshadowing. Right. Obviously, as they got to the apartment, I'm like, oh, everything is clicking now. Right. So how do we feel about, just initially, Aparna and Lawrence? We do know it doesn't work out, but were you guys rooting for them? I was rooting for them.
I was.
I was a little bit, but she just seemed like she'd be a down chick for him.
She's cool.
Like, she was the first. She was the first one to be
but
like,
but he hasn't processed all his feelings, so it wasn't going to happen. That's why I wasn't rooting for them. Because she was going to become Tasha 2.0, so.
I don't think so, actually, because it's a whole different capacity.
She wouldn't have been Tasha.
Right.
Well, with the way that he was handling things, he hadn't changed. You know what I'm saying? He hadn't processed his feelings.
So
you get tempted, but he's still running.
I agree. He hadn't changed. But he liked her more.
So you think she would have been? True. So you think she would have been Tasha 2.0?
No.
You disagree completely.
No, I don't think that she would have like brought him around her family and all that. Like, I don't think that she would have.
But you mean
like,
another rebound?
But she would have been the other rebound.
Another
exactly
rebound,
the way that he would have handled it.
Well, he
wasn't over it though, because he was still in love with Issa. So there's no way that they were going to become like, a relationship.
Do you want to argue with me? I'm just going to argue with her son.
Argue with her son.
No.
Do it.
No.
Hang on. I want to hear. Why do you disagree with her about being Tasha 2.0?
Well, because one thing is, so when it comes, I guess I speak to me about me and a lot of guys I know. But for a man, what's important to him is to make a living off his talent or something that has to do, like, you know, with being knowledgeable or something, right? He has to have a respectable career. So
his ability to earn.
Yeah, his ability to earn. But not even just earn, though. Not earn just in any way, because you can make money a lot of ways. Like, for a guy like Lawrence, built like him, I'm saying, where he has morals, he's like, you know,
It fits him spiritually, mentally,
yes, exactly,
financially, all that.
So okay. He's in a career, and she's also there with him. So now, boom, now you have a lot to talk about just within that alone, because that's their passion. They studied that. They're educated. High education. He went to Georgetown. You know, I don't know where she went, her character went,
they had
her
a Stanford mug, because I know she went
okay,
to Stanford
so
in real life,
go.
So I think they're playing off the fact she went
right
to Stanford.
Okay, so you have highly educated people who, and she gave him perspective and could teach him stuff, right? Tasha was making him feel good, and that's a rebound
exactly
thing, right? Just make him feel good, say nice
definitely
things to him, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, smash
it
out, whatever, all that. Yeah, right?
Wow.
Now, Aparna, though, she is, you know, she kept it real with him right away. No sugarcoating. She comes like, oh, man, I'm excited about woo. And she's like, you know, well, this. And, you know, he was hurt at first, but then he came back and was like, you was right, right? You haven't seen Lawrence this whole season come back, admit he was wrong about you were right. He hasn't mm-hmm done that, but mm-hmm he did that with her right now. Now, automatically, their relationship is different. This is just what I, when I was reading the scripts, was what I was, like, breaking down. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So
put your fingers down.
Yeah. So, like, I'm saying, and they went about things a little different. Like, she was cool even, like, even though she told them, like, they went to the movies, she told them, in, like, they just went to movies in a cool way. So when he was acting like that, he was like, she's like, I'm not tripping. I just want to know we on the same page, whatever. So if we lying
right
to people or not, whatever, boom, she was cool with everything. You know what I mean? So I think just in that, how she was herself and how he was, you know, little changes dealing with her, I don't think that relationship would have been anything like any other relationship we have seen. And I don't think it was even the moments we've saw with them. So
that's interesting. Mm. I personally, I liked Aparna's approach because okay, so there's a saying for all of the men in here. This is why I love having two testosterone-filled men.
I thought you were going to say something else, girl. I thought you were going to say test. Yeah.
Girl. That's
sorry
when we're off camera. But for every great man, there's a great woman behind him, right?
Right.
And so Aparna, in my opinion, would have been the best woman for him in
facts
the long run.
Backbone type.
Because she can challenge him on the
right
business.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, a man, a lot of his self-worth is attached to his ability to earn. That's
true,
why I went
yeah
back to that.
Exactly.
So I felt like Aparna would be the best for that.
Uh-huh.
But I think that Lawrence has an insecurity that he hasn't addressed. Well, we find out he does.
Yeah, well, he
it
ended up so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He
let's talk about the president.
Like his awkwardness. I feel like he was really awkward in trying to explain things and keep things like safe because he cherished her and he knew that that was a potential really good thing.
Yeah.
And didn't want to mess it up, which she ended up doing.
So, let's just get to the end of Lawrence's 30 days. He ends up at the apartment. .. Man. We do figure out why he ends up at the apartment. .. Mm-hmm. But let's move forward. Let's talk about Molly and her 30 days. 30 days. Like, a lot can happen in 30 days. A lot can happen. A lot can happen in 30 days.
Down over there.
So it starts again at the marathon. Again, theme that we're seeing. Molly has an interview with the Hayward law firm, which I think is great.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I know you do.
So let's talk about Molly deciding to leave her job or not leave her job. Mm-hmm. Are we proud of Molly for at least taking the interview?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Because this was okay, so let's go back a few episodes, right? I want to, Little Rel's character's name is
Quentin.
Golly, that's why we have all these people here. Yeah. Quentin proposed to her that she is so smart, you don't need to stay at the plantation.
Yes.
Right.
I said it. They didn't say it on the show. I said it. The plantation. She doesn't need to stay at the plantation.
Right. Right.
I'm proud that she took the interview, right? Mm-hmm. But I was disappointed to find out towards the end of her 30-day process that the bidding war that she was trying to create kind of backfired on her. What did you guys think about her taking the interview first, though?
I was
waiting for her to take a few more interviews. Okay. Yeah. I was waiting.
If anything, that showed her like even more like, okay, I know I'm not tripping, I'm good. You know what I mean? Because people showed they appreciated her value elsewhere.
So, I was about to say that when you go through an interview process and you hear yourself list your accomplishments, you kind of be like, you know what?
I am doing this, man.
So that definitely like it lit her own fire again, her passion. You know?
Yeah.
So
I think interviewing
is definitely an ego boost.
It was the confidence builder that she needed in that moment.
Uh-huh.
It was definitely the confidence builder that she needed in that
previous
moment.
Episode, she could have easily just crawled up into a little ball and they're like, yeah, but no. And she was just kind of like,
okay, just kept her head down and worked. Just
right.
Like, so she had a confidence builder at work, and then, boy, did she have a confidence builder in the bedroom. My God. So her and Quentin meet up for dinner. They have a really, really, really just laid back, you know, one-on-one dinner at a Mexican restaurant, I think it was.
El Capadre.
So this was the only time that I watched Molly have a level of comfort like she had with Dro, your character, in the last episode. Remember how she was being so laid back with Dro? That's why I thought Quentin was a good fit for her, because he was the fine line between Lionel, ooh, I almost forgot his name, Lionel and Dro.
Right.
Right? Yeah, right?
That's Lionel's first season guy, right?
No, Lionel was on this season. Lionel was played by Sterling K. Brown, and he was almost too good to be true.
And smashed her from Lionel.
So for you watching this episode, right? Yeah. So you're an actor on the episode.
Right.
Everything about the show as it progresses is really your job security.
Right.
So watching this bit of reading through the script and seeing that Quentin is taking on such a piece of her heart, did that kind of scare you a little bit?
No. I think it's because no.
Hold on.
Not like
I wouldn't fire.
Like I'm just saying.
I'm gonna tell you right now. You'd stay on the show if it was up to me.
Well, I appreciate that. Get you more shows I work on, but no, I would say that. Well, my thing was, I go in thinking, okay, I'm working this season. That's just what I worry about. But I know, and I knew coming in that this was just, I was a fan. I've been a fan of Issa since her YouTube days. So and been a fan of season one. So I knew coming in, this was going to be a great opportunity regardless. So if I just do this season, this is leading to other things and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wasn't concerned about moving forward. Now, I would love to, just because I'm a fan and I just love the show. You know, the writing's amazing. The cast and crew are even more amazing people. So when I was reading it, I knew, though, reading it, I was just like, okay, I think I still thought maybe she's going to try to force that, you know, because she was always calling him homie and friend zoning him, and I'm just like,
even at dinner, she said homie.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, even when
she said it hard too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like awkward. Yeah. Like awkward.
Homie.
Well, like, you know, I need to eat too. Like she banged on him.
Right.
So I mean, I just felt even whatever things go down, it was just kind of, it'd be forced in a way. I just think maybe because she was on a high, you know, just like, you know what, why not? And I don't know if it'll sustain.
Well, I don't think he'll stay on the show because he's not able and willing to show his ass. So we find out that and Quentin have a... Okay, so I have a saying, okay? Hen will make you sin. Every time I have Hennessy...
When they brought the Henny out, I was like...
I knew it was going down.
Yeah. I saw that when I read that. I was like, what the... Is about
that's
to the, happen.
That's for the culture. That's for the culture.
Yeah, like, that's for really real. For,
and like, I don't think the Hennessy created their brand in this spirit for that reason. But for some odd reason, if you have melanin in your skin, Hennessy will make you drop your drawers.
Man, I was drinking it tonight, feeling some type of way.
Hey. Were you?
Oh, you were feeling some type of way, like you.
Watching the finale. I was like, I was drinking. Everybody, look, everybody was having fun. Don't judge.
Oh yeah,
it's finale. We worked hard.
Sharone is here after the finale party, so that's why it's even more special that he's here with us, because he was definitely turning up at the finale.
And I want to hear the scoop on that.
I'm going to need the invite. We don't need the invite next time.
Gotcha.
Now, a few episodes ago, I asked a question, and I think you were the only person that agreed with me.
Okay.
I didn't agree with you?
No, you didn't. Oh, okay. You didn't.
What was the question?
What was it?
I asked, was Quentin laying the groundwork to get in Molly's draws? Mm-hmm. When he asked her, are you thinking about leaving LA or coming to Chicago? Da, 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 da. I said, well, do you think he's trying to lay the groundwork to like get in her draws?
Well, don't say it's so simple though.
Now, okay, elaborate.
I'm saying like in his case, like he admires that girl. Like I don't think it was just like
the way you said that. Say it again. I was like, you were talking to me.
Shut up. Finish what you were saying. Anyway,
I'm saying like,
God.
I don't think it was like with him to go through all that. I just think they're actually true friends, and when you're in the same field again, you know, they respect each other, and they're black in a field that's, you know, where not only being a minority, but it's a real small percentage. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, I think he's looking for a little bit more than that. You know, I do.
So a relationship, like something.
Definitely, he's a career man. He older, like no, he's not.
That's how I felt. Yeah,
he has salt and pepper in his beard.
You heard the therapist. She was like, get out of the should and get into the could.
Yeah.
Which you know what? Can I jump into that real quick? She said something. She's had a couple sessions. She's talking about the should and could, and she said something earlier about the. It was in an earlier episode. I can't remember exactly what she said, but to me. I took it as she kind of was telling Molly to stop visualizing. And that's how I took it.
Do
just
it.
The way, but not just that, because I think visualization is very important. Or else I feel like I even wouldn't be where I'm at if I didn't visualize.
Right.
But visualize.
You know I mean? But she's visualizing on a whole nother level. Like,
but I think there's a difference between visualizing and sabotaging all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what her therapist was kind of getting at. Like, kind of live in the moment
right. Instead
of visualizing what you want to have happen and then you sabotage the success.
Right, a little bit.
I mean, that's what
it's definitely like she's got a mood board set up and she has to, like, you know.
Get all the things, exactly.
And it's not working out the way she wants it to. So definitely, like, live in the now. Be more present. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to take 10 seconds because I do believe in visualization.
Absolutely.
And I think we have a lot of fans, a lot of people who watch this show. Mm-hmm. Let's just take 10 seconds and just visualize what we want. Because when we come back to Insecure in 6 months, maybe 8 months, maybe I don't know when the hell the show's coming back. I want Issa, Lawrence, Molly, Kelly, Derek, Chad, hell, everybody. I want everybody to be better. So let's take 10 seconds to visualize how your life will be better starting now.
Oh, we're really going to take a moment of silence.
Our personal lives or like for Insecure?
Do I say it out loud?
You guys are messing up my vibe.
I was a little confused.
Do I share it with y'all?
I tell you, I wasn't expecting
it. Just like making a wish and not sharing the wish.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Go back to this moment. Go back to this moment 8 months from now, and I hope your life is better. I hope your life is better.
I'll remember this with y'all.
We have it on tape. So let's talk about Issa's 30 days.
Oh, hell.
Issa's 30 days were the hardest to watch.
I'm still irritated from the last episode when she just overreacted about the facial.
I thought she did too.
Like, and I was hoping that Molly was going to calm her down and bring her, you know, like,
but
okay.
She egged her on.
No, she was like, they watching Pornhub. And I was just like, wait.
We going roll up. We going.
Like, he did not sit there and was like, aim steady. Like, that's not what happened.
He was like, you know, pulled her hair back and was like.
If anything, you should be impressed that he was so turned on by your skills.
And he just shot out.
For you to be a beginner at that.
just saying.
But she's not really a beginner.
But she's not really avid. She's not avid.
No.
She's definitely
she has done it before, but she's just not alive.
As I mentioned, last season, before Lawrence got his job at this wonderful tech startup, she did administer a fantastic blowjob.
She did. She was like, yeah, she did.
Oh,
she did.
Yeah.
Do you guys not remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Don't act like I was the only person who saw that.
But she don't do it for everybody, and she wanted to show him he was special.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
She did it, and she did the damn thing, hence him not being able to control his
and
aim.
Lion played that shit perfect, and he was like, yo, good job.
God.
Yeah. So before we get into how Issa's life is just kind of coming to this, you know, climax, Tiffany and Derek, there was a bunch of like little jabs throughout the episode, and I'm looking at Robin the whole episode like, are you gonna catch what they're putting down?
I was a little late.
No play on words. Pun intended. Tiffany and Derek announced that they are expecting a little Dubois, which is fantastic. And in that moment, Tiffany, as she does in her very bougie Jack and Jill way, shout out to Jack and Jill, reminds Issa that her life is just as jacked up as it was years ago.
Damn. Which is very true.
So let's go down the list of all the accomplishments. She says that Molly's got a new job on the horizon. They've got a baby.
That hurt my feelings.
Kelly has lost a great deal of weight. Looks
got
fantastic.
Her fitness, got a man.
Absolutely. Got a
shout out
I
to
think
Ryan.
She had, I yeah. think she
that's
has a man.
That's her man.
Yeah. Her
she's
man.
She's talking to
she
him.
She brought him to the dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's her man.
At the end of the day, she's wearing Ivy Park and she made it to the marathon. That enough is a huge accomplishment.
Right.
And then they get to Issa.
She
ain't got a damn thing going on.
Yeah.
This and she's like, I'm moving.
She's like, at the tip of the tongue, and the
you
moving
me
thing.
Before.
but see, here's what Issa said that out of desperation because she said, I'm moving, but you're moving because
you have to move.
You're gonna kill the rent too high.
We saw at the beginning of the episode, Inglewood is now being reclassified
as I would, with
cold brew coffee.
Just a little fun fact, that's one of the writers and script supervisors. She's hilarious. Every writer has a cameo on the show.
Oh, that's so cool. The white woman at that's the beginning, dope. She works on the show?
I don't know if you remember at the Tasha's family barbecue, do you remember the girl twerking with playing the flute?
Sure yes.
Do. Everybody producer. Loved her. No, but wow. I feel like Issa tweeted that was one of the writers.
Did she? She probably did.
Fun facts.
This is one of the first episodes where I actually felt sorry for Issa. Like, a lot of times, I've been like, you did this to yourself. No. Because a lot of
not
shit
too much.
She did
no,
to herself.
But like, I felt sorry, but I was like, it's her fault. Like, I feel like they were self-inflicting. Like, there was this Jenga set of Issa. And
she did
each,
to herself.
Yeah, like,
that's
I didn't feel
way
bad,
to break it down.
But
yeah.
I didn't feel bad. I was just like, what is wrong with you?
Definitely. You
what are you doing?
Right.
Like, we are grown. Right. I let you slide the rotation, get it, but you couldn't even do that right.
She messed that up because she had a wonderful Caucasian man.
Nico was dope.
Latino.
He was Latino.
You know what? And this is the third episode in a row that I have said Caucasian. And he's not Caucasian. He is Latino. And I do apologize.
Nico
would have
been nice. You know.
That would have been.
He's really short, though.
Man, he ready.
Was he short? What did
he say? Do you remember that time when they first met and then he got off the chair to like say hi and he was still the same height as he was sitting? Like, did no one notice that? That was really funny. Okay.
So Issa gets
way too handsome.
We got 6'8".
Yeah, you're super tall. I mean, we can't tell, you know, but
because
he's sitting down. So Issa talks to her friends about moving, right? And we, you know, come to the conclusion once again that she's poor. They have addressed the fact that she is poor four times in this season.
I feel that.
She is real.
And then she didn't get the promotion. And then she didn't get the promotion.
So, she's
going to
back
that up. Now she's in trouble because of the thing.
I do want to get into that, but real quick, Issa talks about living by herself. Now her friends want her to find a roommate, but she wants to live by herself. Now here's the decision she has to make. Do I live in Lancaster, which for those of us who live here in LA, Lancaster is
far, but it's super cheap, affordable.
It is extremely affordable.
Really
okay,
affordable.
It's not like Beverly Hills. I want to leave BH so bad, but shit. But anyway, so they say that
Beverly Hills, honey.
That's just where I live. Damn. But they talk about, you know, she needs a roommate, but she says she wants to live by herself. I am for her living by herself, even if that means
what? Yeah.
No, no, no. Well, so why do you say hell yeah? Because you're agreeing with me, but why?
She's older.
She's a grown woman.
She's a grown-ass woman.
Like, she's not 22. She
don't nobody have a roommate out of any of them besides her. She'd be the only one that would have one if she did. Like,
I agree with the idea of her living with herself, but realistically, you cannot be having a champagne lifestyle on a beer budget.
But does Issa really have a champagne lifestyle? Because many occasions, she has said she's poor.
Exactly, but she might not be able to afford to live by herself.
Like, in Lancaster?
And drive all the way to LeMert?
We don't even know she has a car anymore because she got in the car accident.
She's in like Pacoima or something like that.
But she works in LeMert Park. Like that.
You leave it for.
On the bus.
Like that's not like the valley. Like
on the bus though.
Yeah.
So well, can she not go, I've only been here 2 years. Can she not go over to Crenshaw Compton?
It's expensive over there as well because of gentrification.
Yeah. I understand, but can she not find a place there?
No, because of gentrification.
There's nothing there.
If she can't afford to stay in Inglewood, then she really can't afford...
Long Beach, you know, there's some North Long Beach. You need to find a job in Long Beach too.
So, in your defense, yes, she could move there, but she'd have three other people living with her.
To where?
That ain't the worst.
Not
shit.
Three, but one. Maybe
one. Anyways, let's move forward. Yeah. So she finds out she's too poor to live on her own, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. Then she finds out that Frida gets promoted, which should have been her promotion.
I don't know.
Yes,
it would have gone to her had
it could have.
So let's get to why she got. So why this happened? Mm-hmm. The boss finds out they're having a separate, segregated. You know, we got y'all meeting and all this jazz, and because of that, she is questioning Issa's leadership skills and gives the promotion
to
Frida.
That was bullshit. She's done a lot, and for this one thing for you to trip over, which is not even that big of a deal, I thought that was like, all right, lady. But
and she came clean in a way. So, but what I didn't understand is that how did she not know that the other girl, she was involved. She must have known something. They were working together, and there was like no suspicion whatsoever to that other
character. Frida was definitely in compliance. So
Well, that's the first thing you would think. Like, hey, you guys were working together. Did you know anything about it? Like, that's
I don't think she wanted to drag her. So, like, she was just trying to like be like, no, it was all me. You know, team leader.
But I did not think for a second I guess her saying this is a segregated session, we can get sued. Like, I did not think for a
because
second
it's true.
That would be an issue until she said, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's true.
This is a big deal.
So,
this
is what I'm going to say. There's a sports phrase called tie goes to the runner, right? Mm-hmm. So, in baseball, if the batter gets to first base and the ball gets to first base at the same time, the person who's safe is the runner, right? The same thing goes, I hate to say it, in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Tie goes to the white. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm being for real.
I'm being very real. We've been taught that since kids. You have to be like four times.
You have to be better. Issa has been challenged now three episodes. I know for a fact Frida has said you need to do something, and she did not. Mm-hmm. So for her to get passed over for a promotion, you knew. This is why I got mad, and this is why I got mad last season. And I hate to go back to last season, but she went up and talked to Daniel when she was in front of a donor. Her mom had the cameo. Remember that?
Right.
And she had a chance to get like $5,000 or $10,000, but she chose to go upstairs and talk to Daniel.
Right.
Issa doesn't play to the check. And that's my biggest issue with Issa in the show, career-wise.
She's emotional.
Now, tonight, on this episode, she should have played to her boss's opinion and preference when it comes to We Got Y'all instead of the principal. Because the principal's not writing her check. Mm-hmm. And then she gets effed over for a promotion. And this is where I wanted to see growth from Issa this season, and I never got it. She kept making the same damn mistake.
That's all
I have to say. Because I'm just that person on the... I will say... I'm about my money before everything else. Mm. I'm a hustler number one, okay? When you don't chase the check, it will blow up in your face.
But like you're saying also, it's knowing where it comes from. It's like, we're going to be cool at work, but he's not writing my check, so I'm going to be cool. You know what I mean? So
exactly. You know what your boss is looking for? F him.
Yeah.
No, I'm being for real.
Yeah.
And that, part of me, I hope that people saw that this season because there are a lot of faux pas that they were making that affected their money. And I think that a lot of people who watch this show are black millennials. And I think that black millennials need to think a little bit more aggressively about your money in the society that we live in. Look at the mistakes that Issa's making, that Molly, not so much making, but happens to her because of her skin color, and think about how to not make those mistakes and get yourself out of it.
Woo.
That's what I was hoping everybody would see this season. I don't know if they did, but that's just me. That's just me.
And, yeah, I think I would say I agreed with a lot of that. There might be a small percent where I think where it would only differ because of maybe career paths or what I'm doing. I don't know. Wait, I'm not sure what you got. Did you mention acting earlier?
I didn't say anything about acting.
Okay. All right. So what I'm saying is because if I focused on the check, I would have accepted some jobs. I had no business.
You'd probably be doing porn.
No.
I mean, I'm just saying porn initially will pay better than.
No, it wouldn't. No.
No.
Like, I know. I mean, I watched a documentary. Guys make the good money you make, you have to do gay porn.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right. The dude that looked gay for pay. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right, sorry.
So finish your thought. Finish.
So, yeah, but I'm saying, like, I think there is a balance because I guess, I don't know. I think my thing is, I think priority to me, one would be passion, then check, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think I always tell people this, like, when people asking, you know, like, I don't mind if I say this out loud. Okay, I said, there's just a few things I just wouldn't do. I'm not going to do Tyler Perry projects.
Really?
No.
This is an exclusive.
Yeah.
Damn.
I only say that because we see a lot of actors and actresses, they want to get on a TPS Tyler Perry studio project bad.
I don't.
So explain why.
Well, and this is no disrespect towards him. I'm saying, because but this is a brother who owns he has his own empire.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect that. You have to respect that. Like, he runs his own thing. He could get whatever he wants made. Now, he has that power, though, because of quality. So that man's worth like $400 million. Spike Lee is worth $40 million. That's crazy to me.
Mm.
There's no way that Tyler should be, like, Spike is taught in schools, you know? Mm-hmm. Do the Right Thing was revolutionary.
He went
to
Morehouse. Like, he's a Morehouse man, if I'm not mistaken.
NYU Morehouse, you know what I mean? Like, that type of stuff to me, like, I would watch Spike stuff any get. Like, Malcolm X did a lot for me. Like, you know, like, there's just so many movies that he's done. There's not one Tyler Perry movie that moved me in a way where it's like, oh, my God.
Now, you know Madea's Family Reunion was a damn good movie.
Look, the first one was fun. I didn't mind the first one.
You mean, Boo Madea Halloween didn't, like, move you?
Come on now.
You know that movie started off
as a joke.
But I'm saying, it's like, okay, well, and on top of that, there's just sometimes I feel like there's just a lot of, like, exploiting stuff for the coach. And I just think there's ways. If you're going to talk about issues in the culture, there's a good, tasteful way to do it. And we've seen plenty of that. I just don't think he... doesn't, in my opinion. That's my opinion, you know, as an artist.
Yeah, thanks for your honesty. Totally so, yeah, and I was going to say thanks.
And these are real good fruits right here.
And personally, besides being Mary Jane, there's not too much on BET I would fuck with because they haven't fucked with me for a long time. I just wasn't black enough for
it. That's a damn shame. And I'm going to say it right now. To Tyler Perry, to BET, y'all need to do right by Sharona.
They don't got to, actually. No, they're good now. They can keep doing what they're doing.
He is Gucci in his lane.
Because
HBO money, though.
No, look.
I do.
I saw them booty cheeks.
I see your gold chain. Your car from
I'm just saying, like, so with me, though, and I have been offered certain stuff on certain, like, networks or things or, you know, that I wouldn't really want to be part of, and you know, the check would have been nice, and you are acting as a job and everything, because there's people like, accept everything that you can't start now, and I'm like, no, because if Sidney Poitier told Denzel that,
right,
then Denzel would have accepted that role. He talked about, he called it the nigga that wouldn't die. That's what he called it.
I remember that.
Yeah, that ridiculous ass role. So he would have accepted that or some other stuff, you know what I mean? I just think, you know, you go for quality in your passion, because then once you're good at your passion, also you have to work and develop your skill, obviously. Yeah. Work hard, get your skill. And then once you have your passion and you're good at your passion, you're going to get paid.
Yeah. Mm. That's definitely
that check
true.
Is going to come. You know what I'm saying?
You remind me of Pooch Hall. So Pooch Hall, I don't know if you guys remember the game.
Mm-hmm.
When it was on UP...
You said it like
Jay was blue.
You said it like
Jay was blue.
It's been a while.
Y'all been fresh friends.
That's exactly what that sounds like.
So Pooch Hall said he left the game once it went to BET because he wanted to work on Ray Donovan. And Ray Donovan, as you know, is a Showtime, you know, series. You're working with top-notch actors. And he said, I have to leave BET to be like Denzel, to be like Will Smith. I got to work with
him. They did not support him.
And they didn't support him on that. So you sound like Pooch, and it's worked out in his favor, and I believe it's going to work out in your favor, too.
I'm glad he did that, too. So that's good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, twinsies. If I was close enough, I'd punch you in the shoulder.
Oh, girl, don't do that.
And not to knock, like, the, you know, there's a lane for everything. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm just saying is that's not my lane. And Pooch decided I already did that. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to grow and do other stuff. And then he just went into a different lane.
That's real.
So I want to fast forward a little bit. Amal, I wish we had seen more. What's his name? Amal? On
yeah,
the show?
Yeah.
I wanted to see more of Amal on this season. We got just a taste. Yeah. And I knew he was just as petty as I am. And I wanted to see
so
more of it.
Funny.
I saw a
petty
little bit.
Hell.
He was super petty.
Hella petty.
So we find out that Issa's going to be living with Amal because she can't afford her rent. But Amal drops her off at her old apartment over in the jungle. So for those of you guys who don't know, the jungle is like the hood, right? Like everybody who lives in the jungle, historically, you've either been affiliated with a gang or you know somebody affiliated with the gang.
Yep.
But anyway, so she's moving out. All the white neighbors are coming in. The pool's got like, you know.
Did y'all see that white woman run by when she was walking up? You saw that? I was
you
like,
see the white boys coming out of the pool when Lawrence locked in?
God,
yeah.
I
was like, damn.
On.
That's what it, yeah.
She walks into the apartment to drop off her keys, do a final walkthrough, and who does she see? Now, see the tie-in here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it Molly's final scene or Issa's scene? They were selling the couch. And I was like, wait a second. They're selling the couch?
Right.
But we find out that Issa tried to give that couch to Lawrence, and he didn't want it.
Mm.
And that's, in my opinion, that's when I knew it was over. But then we get to this scene, and I had all the hope in the damn world. So they run into each other at the apartment, and they have this dream sequence that brought
Hold on. But before that dream sequence, they had a real-ass conversation.
Thank God. Hello.
Some healing was done there. Yeah.
That conversation was needed, and it hurt.
It was the most
realest
moment.
I was so moved. Like, today, watching, especially watching everybody, was just like... Like, we were just in our feelings, like, oh, my God.
It was so
like,
long overdue, too.
Hello.
Man.
So special.
Finally grown up, mature about it, you
right.
know,
like,
having a conversation with Jack.
I'm going to take accountability for me. You can take accountability.
Right.
You know, we're both sorry. But
I was surprised she was like, no, you don't have to apologize. I was like, huh.
I was happy she did that. I'm like, okay, there you go.
You know, the theme they had in both of their apologies was, I fucked up, excuse my French, but I fucked up because I could not be better for you.
For you.
They both,
exactly.
They both said that.
But here's the theme. They could not be better for each other together. But look at them right now.
Right.
In theory, they're better. Right. Even though Issa's about to be out on her ass living with Amal, they're still better people, but they got to better apart.
Right.
And sometimes you have to be apart to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they realize.
Look,
gotta get it all out.
No, I'm like,
gotta get it all out. That's
no,
what the
I mean,
show does,
real.
Man.
Yeah.
It brings a lot of real conversations out. Like, people always coming up to me talking about, man, I'm in a group message. We were just, and it's just like the conversation they have. And then I'll find myself having a conversation. They're saying some real stuff. And I'm like, damn, this show really.
I didn't think of it that deeply.
Like, no, I do, but like, I know I'm, as an artist and as an actor, I'm being in the show, I have to in
you
a
have
way.
To, right.
Or I do by myself because you individually, you always think like, oh, I'm just thinking too much. But like, a lot of people think like that, man. Like, it's real.
I was really hoping to see her little mirror monologue. Like, I was hoping to see an ending. Like, because it was very cringeworthy.
It's me and you, my nigga.
Like, the last 2 weeks of her mirror raps have been cringeworthy.
Hilarious,
I'm like, ooh.
So when we were watching the show, two questions came up. Number one, and for those of our fans who are out there in YouTube and social media world, was this the first episode where we didn't have a mirror monologue? And then, how many consecutive episodes have we seen ass cheeks? Two very great streaks.
Oh, yeah, no.
One didn't get broken tonight because we did see ass cheeks.
You sure did.
Can we, speaking of ass cheeks, can we get to questions now? Or
Yeah, so let's talk about the ending, though. Let's talk about the ending.
Right. I did want to say, though, because when he finally opened up and he said how he set the expectations for himself, when things don't go his way, he shuts down. Yep. I feel like that was also him finally opening up about the depression that he had been going through.
Why I was like
because,
that.
Yeah, because we don't, I mean, I knew it when I saw it in the first season. I'm like, he is depressed so bad, and he needs help. And then, you know, Issa just throws it in his face, like, with your depressed ass. And I'm like, well, that's not the kind of conversation we need to have.
Yeah. That's not the motivation.
He's finally given the peace to just open up. Right. And it's like, they're not, like I said, they're not arguing each other, not cussing at each other. So I really appreciated that moment. Yeah. Finally. Same.
So what was up with the dream sequence, though?
Why did girls have to say?
You know, we visualize. That's what happens sometimes. Like, why did I visualize and shit too much?
What did you think?
I was gonna say, just actually, it was a great scene, but watching these guys like react, it was the best.
I was like, "Is this a dream?" And she was like, "No, this is real." And I was like,
"Nah, bullshit."
Well, I was so moved.
It moved really fast.
What were you hoping?
You knew it was a dream sequence.
I mean, yeah, obviously, but
once
like,
you saw baby.
But when I was
the baby, I was like, okay, it's moved too quick.
But like the thing was, but like seeing the visuals of it, I was just like, damn, man, like
what's the dream,
man? Yeah, I felt for her. This is the first time I felt for her since last season. Like last season, even though I was like, man, fuck her, man, whatever. Like, and she deserved it. It was still because I've watched that in episode 7 of last season when they got in that argument, when he confronted her and they got that big argument. Mm-hmm. I watched it over and over and over because it's such a good scene. And every time I find myself sympathizing with her just a little bit more and more. And I get mad at myself. I'm like, fuck that. I'm still Lawrence Hives and shit.
Oh, my God.
But anyways.
Tell us how you really
feel. Just like there and have that conversation. A little bit of a...
But that's the last time I felt something like, you know, like that for her and everything. And then seeing that, it just like sunk. You know, I was like, man, she was real with Lawrence, and you could see them fighting back tears as they that was hard because that's just hard to watch just because you know if you've been in that situation you're just like I was like wow
absolutely
that's,
this is, it was know. And when was really both hard. Parties are too busy trying to be hard man, too hard
tell
you know in
it.
That moment
they're trying to way too hard
like you're the person I can be the realest around anyway right. And now we're right here now we're, in this moment in time
so oh, do we have a reaction to the finale of the finale. We see Issa show up at an apartment that I thought was going to be a mall's.
Right.
I thought I was going to see him open the door with the glass.
Take your shoes off.
Sparkling wine. Because I don't know if he could afford champagne, but at least it's sparkling wine.
Right, he's classy.
He's classy. You know, right down the cusp. I thought I was going to see a mall with sparkling wine. I thought I was going to see Issa go in there. It ends up being Daniel. And then I thought it was going to be Quentin at the door, and it's your ass.
I knew it was going to be him. I knew
it. Yeah, I knew
it, too.
I knew she wasn't going to do all that for Quentin.
She was way
already.
Too excited at trying on
and
the negligee.
And very comfortable.
She's like, oh, he don't like this.
Right.
I mean, I guess she wouldn't be that excited for, like, meh, dick, right? Like, eh, dick.
Yeah, it was
meh. That's what they call it. That's what they call it,
meh,
dick, right?
Said.
It was, yeah, so I guess that would have been the telling, yeah, so I don't know.
So you're saying you put it down like that?
Oh, hey.
Dro, yeah. I guess, is very...
He's not really doing it.
Dro's...
Speaking of putting it down, I noticed Molly has been the most dressed out of everybody, like as far as characters and sex scenes. And
don't she got the most money?
She has a brand, so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know she is a real virgin.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask you how those sex scenes even felt. Like, does she look like she, that was she doing?
Well, she real comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if anything... On film sex, she was more experienced than me. So, ironically, my on-screen cherry was popped by a virgin. You know what I mean? So, like, I remember standing there like, what the hell?
That's
I'm getting
so
my
deep.
Cherry popped by a virgin. I was like, but, I mean, if it, like, she made me comfortable. And I remember a lovely lady named Di. She's in our wardrobe department. She saw how nervous I was right before the first time I was gonna take off my robe.
Oh boy!
She was like,
tell us about it.
Like look over at Yvonne, and then I looked over at her. She was on the bed talking to her hairstylist, and you know whatever. And I'm in her living room, and I looked at her, and she was just being all cool and everything. And I'm like yeah. And then she was like, don't she seem cool? She seems fine, don't she? And I'm like, yeah, she's fine. But yeah, she's a virgin. You've done this before. And I'm like, man, you right. You goddamn right. Take this robe off right now.
Oh my God.
Take the robot right goddamn now. But yeah, it was but no, so Yvonne is super cool, and then between But if anything, I always think, in my opinion, I just think, you know, as an actor, the man should definitely ask about, you know, make the women feel comfortable. Because,
yeah.
I mean, women have way more to show than us. You know what I mean? I mean, I got my backside. But other than that, you know, that's it right here. And then,
and
but that's
not
covered
showing
up.
That.
Exactly. So, right. Yeah, no, that's in my car. Wrote that down. Don't show that. My mama watches this shit.
That's so funny.
But, like, so, you know, we were making sure, you know, you good? Yeah, I'm good. All right, cool. And then we were just talk about something, joke or something like that. Really easy.
Well,
so
this last season was the most popping sex scene y'all have ever had.
Yeah.
Or no, last week. Sorry.
The
bathroom.
Like, which one?
The bathroom. The bathroom. The bathroom.
Oh, he was swirling the sink. I'm like,
the sink.
Heavens.
Oh,
I like
heavens.
The time. Oh, my.
You say heaven.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Like, when they first had sex, though, there was all that pent-up passion. That was the one I really liked.
It made me hot, though, because she had the down comforter all up on her. And I was like, I would be so hot, like, just in that position.
It was hot.
I'm like, that's just too much material.
Lord,
his whole body was out, and she was like.
Yeah, because I got to cover her since she's, like, you know, has a brand. I got to be the one covered. I did feel some type of way.
Look.
Now I'm gonna talk to creators about this. I'm like, why?
Look into
I
that
did,
camera. Tell look. Them how you feel.
I saw, you know, Rail's character Quentin. I was like, she got to get on top of him. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to do the whole work, the whole
that's
season.
True.
I couldn't get one.
Couldn't get one right.
Now listen, I'm not really complaining for real, but I'm just kind
of
putting
that
out there
for
next season if that were to go down, because I have no
switch
idea.
Switch positions. That's all.
Yeah. Well, let's.
But you take control in that situation with Molly. Like, you're the one that opened her into that situation. You're the one that's always constantly making her feel comfortable when she feels like secondary.
Right,
like,
right.
So I feel like your role as initiating and taking control, I think that played well with your character.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely didn't mind it. I'm just saying, as far as just.
You should feel confident, though, because we saw you at the end of the episode. I know for a fact Issa's not going to do you dirty. We got to see you for at least two more episodes next year.
He ain't going nowhere.
Man, you know, to be honest, like, and I'll give you the whole truth. Look, no scripts have been written or anything like that. I mean, there's probably only, if Issa probably the only one that knows, has a good idea about what's going to happen. But, none of us know what's going to happen, so. Who knows if I'm there for one episode? Who knows if I'm there for the whole season? Who knows how anything's... I really don't know. I just know, you know, it just seems like I would be back because at the end, you see me. Doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
Where the hell did he go? Like,
he said, because duh.
I just hope we don't see you like Raina on Power getting shot, because that one will have me on the floor, because you too fine to get shot.
I need to catch up.
You too fine to get shot.
We ain't living that life in Insecure.
I'm like,
that's just a whole different world there. I'm going to be... You know, safe. So
you can be safe. Well, from your lips to God's ears, and for sure.
So this show obviously has been an incredible platform for you.
Yes.
What has come from it? I mean, that you can talk about.
Things I could talk about.
You know, sometimes be on the low low.
About.
You know,
yeah,
NDAs
yeah.
and all. It's Hollywood. Well, it's Hollywood.
You know,
you can't talk about everything.
You know how it goes. Well, even things. In between work, like tomorrow, I have an early flight to New York City. And tomorrow I'll be working with Paper Magazine and MCM.
Oh,
okay.
You're going to be with Drew.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, and then Tuesday I fly to Toronto for 2 days for Toronto Film Festival. It's like a couple of events I think I got to go to out there. Then come back to New York City, got some more stuff. You know, Revolt TV, going to be interviewing with them and just doing some press stuff, some shoots. Got some cool shoots coming up as well. I have some stuff that my own personal stuff that I'm working on continuously and taking more meetings and, you know, trying to get that off the ground. Just got with a new management, just literally like
that's always good.
Like this past week, just got with them. You know, have their own production company within, so making stuff in house is very important to me. Yeah, I'm like.
Yes.
You know, I won't say it'd be easy, but at least there's somewhere you could go and go like right away. Listen here, boom. What do you think? Go forward with this or not and stuff like that. So some stuff I just, you know, can't talk about. And then I did Hip Hop Squares recently, which was really fun.
That's a good show.
That's a fun
shout
show.
Out to Ice Cube.
Fun,
that's a really
man. Yeah.
good show.
Yeah, it's like that was really fun. So I mean, and then like just things like that to do in between jobs as well has been really exciting, just because like obviously there's gonna be working, I'm gonna be working, but that's the stuff I, you know, I'm passionate for the work, and then I get really excited for the stuff like that, because I'm like, oh, I get to hang out with these people all day, or fly to New York to do this event and get paid for it. Like,
I must say, it seems like being on Insecure has opened up so much for you career-wise. Have you had the chance, and you seem really, really busy, have you had the chance to just, like, sit down and think about how far you've come? You have a lot going on.
And where did you come from? I mean, well, what's the backstory on Sharonis?
I mean, you know what the funny thing is? I have... You know, I've done stuff, you know, prior to this. It's just that now people, this is something where everybody notices it, you know what I mean? Like, I worked with Spike Lee twice, you know what I mean? You know, guest stars, obviously, as well. Yeah, that was a huge dream. And then I came in doing basketball commercials, obviously, coming from basketball. So I was just doing basketball commercials over and over just so I could, okay, this is going to pay the bills while I still try to go out for these TV and film roles. But then this, you know, this is the first, like, hitter, like, you know, so, you know, me and my me and my group of guys, me and my squad, like, I would say I'm probably like the least working out of them and like the least popping, which is a testimony to my group, not because I'm very proud of myself. Yes,
you need to be around people that's on the higher level.
Exactly. So you know they're doing their thing and doing amazing things. So we're always sitting around and having random moments of being grateful for stuff or going to events, like, and they'll remind you, like, I had my boy with me and he's on the show that's on CBS, the comedy is coming out next month, and he was excited because I'm always around it, so, but he's there watching it and he's just like taking it in. He was like, dog. And then we just have this conversation. And then I do it for him when I go to his live tapings and stuff like that. I'm like, man, bruh. You know what I mean? We always have these, you always got to be grateful because, you know, you never know, especially in this business, you know, but even though we're very confident about where we're going, but you just, you know, you always got to be very, count your blessings, be very grateful. And continue to get stronger and stuff like that.
So we brought up a good point here about surrounding yourself with good people, right?
Yes,
and a little bit earlier you said, I'd never do a Tyler Perry film, da da da. Let's talk about the five people. They say you become the five people you surround yourself with. If you could pick out five people right now, who would it be?
Okay.
Five people in 5 minutes.
Great. Let's just see. Aside from my squad, you know, because
let's count your squad as one.
No pressure.
Yeah, my squad would be one. Because even in my squad, I, you know, you my boy Matt Murray, his name is Matt Murray. He's the one that's on the CBS show. Stephon James, he's the lead on Shots Fired, was Jesse Owens in Race.
Okay.
His brother Shamir, who's a series regular on Wynonna Earp, and was in Shots Fired with him and in Race with him. Like, those are my guys. Giacomo, he's on, Giacomo's on Grey's Anatomy. So these guys, you know, these are all guys, you know, we work really hard. And there's other guys. Our young homie Lamar, he just got X-Men. He's going to be on it for three movies, you know. So
we can count them as one. Okay, now, so they represent one person. So your other four people, if you could surround yourself with other four people, because they might be listening tonight.
Right. No, look, Ryan Coogler is someone I really want to work with.
Okay.
Because he's someone, like, I like how he just keeps it real. I mean, you talk to him, interviews, whatever, he's like, look, he's just... And he doesn't have to turn anything on because he's him, and he's a genius. He's
that's like a win.
Yeah, I really admire his talent, but also him just for keeping it real. Like, everything I've watched of him is just really real, and I would say he's definitely one.
Okay, so we got squad Ryan Coogler. Mm-hmm. Who be the Trey?
Man, a third. See, it'd be a mixture of people from Insecure. I want to keep, like, you know, around, like Issa and Prentice Penny, our showrunner, writer, producer. Like, I've learned so much from them, and they work so well with each other. And they're very, it just shows you could be very good people, very gracious, talented, and this, like, stereotypical, pretentious attitude that people think you have to have when you come to Hollywood or LA, whatever, like that. It's not real. It's not a TV show.
Yeah.
It's not a soap. You don't have to act like that. You know what I mean?
It's very powerful for those of us who work here. It's like, we see through this that you can be good and be great and be acknowledged.
It's very possible. This show is filled with that. I mean, you see the people on it, Rail, Sterling, they all wanted to be a part of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's all love. So you know, keep them on.
Yep. Coogler, the duo Apprentice and Issa. Yes. Who would be your quad?
See, on the quad, I would have to go with, oof.
Maybe Issa's a third.
You know who I really like how he is a Chance the Rapper.
Okay, so Chance. I like the diversity. I feel like the basketball player is going to be your fifth person.
He's so nice.
No, because I've done that. You know what I mean? Like, I lived that life for a while. If it were to be, it'd be like an older basketball player. It'd be like, you know, like Kobe, LeBron, or something like that. You know, who are older than me if I were to choose them. But I'm kind of keeping it just in the business lane, the film business lane.
Okay.
And I would say. Taylor Sheridan is the writer of Sicario. He wrote Wind River that just came out recently. He also did Hell or High Water. These are all great movies that I really like. I would like him because to be in my circle because, one, he's a guy that was an actor. He was on Sons of Anarchy, and he was just like, he just wanted to create and write the things that he wanted. And these, and he always tells people, write what you know first and then go from there. And his movies, just his writing is just so good to me. I would just want to learn from him and pick his brain and just about just and watch the movies he watches because just his taste and quality is through the roof, and I could learn from somebody like that.
You're an early adopter because I don't even know who that is.
Taylor Sheridan. Yeah, yeah. You will. Like, I mean, if you guys definitely, if you guys could peek. Hell or High Water, Sicario, Wind River.
I got to look him up.
Those three movies you guys should definitely see. Wind River is in theaters right now, so you should definitely go see that. I'm over here like I'm in a movie.
List. On the
Y'all
list.
Make sure to go check out. No. so
definitely. Well, obviously, in between now and whenever the show comes back, you know how many women are going to be just stalking you?
Oh, speaking of which, for the ladies out there that want to know, are you single?
You know, I'm single. Got special friends in my life, but I'm single.
Okay. So since you're single, where can we find you?
At Ron J. R-O-N-E-J-A-E. Instagram, Twitter. I was like,
she's going to give out your number.
What does she mean?
Your address, actually.
Are you on Tinder?
Well, you guys, it's been an amazing season. Insecure, 2 seasons in the books, and they're going for a third. Mm-hmm. You guys, real quick, where can we find you in the meantime?
You can find me at Bonjour Juliet.
Khalil Boo Boo at Khalil Boo Boo. Twitter and Instagram. Holla at me.
McCall Hall of Fame on Instagram when sports and pop culture collide.
Ivana on Ivana L. Williams. Oh, sorry. Ivana Williams on Twitter. This is stressful. On Instagram, you can also follow me at Ivana.Williams.
Hey, and Robin with the V at B Stays Busy.
And we're going to stay busy all off season. Make sure you guys follow us at AfterBuzz TV across the board. Stay engaged, stay hopeful, and yo, keep it hella chill in the meantime. We'll see you guys next season. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.